White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 647.
You're listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the White Rocket Entertainment Network.
Bye-bye, Bo! Touchdown, Auburn!
The kick is good! Auburn wins! Shivers just ran through a man!
Hello and welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment and by the ice cream sandwich I just had, which is really yummy, and by people like you, the Auburn family, the AU Wishbone family, our beloved Patreon.com family. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
And John, have you had a nice ice cream sandwich lately?
Not in the last 20 minutes. But in the big picture, yes, I've enjoyed some ice cream sandwiches.
Well, you got to witness the glory of me enjoying a Blue Bunny just now, and much like our viewers or listeners will get to witness the barbecue soon, right? So it's all about eating on our show. Sometimes it's strange how that kind of evolves around. Maybe I'll have an ice cream sandwich with
it's
the barbecue. Maybe we'll eat the barbecue.
I was going to say, the ice cream sandwiches should be like the second course after the barbecue.
Yeah, I think so. And then it comes back around and tells us, oh, no, that was all wrong. You got to listen to the ice cream sandwich now. How are things going on your end of the line here, John?
I'm going to be honest. I can't believe it's August. Like, it literally is kind of stunning to me that it's August 1st now. And
I know
that we are... Summer is racing along now, and we're so close to actual football again.
I know, it's crazy. I mean, I just turned in my summer grades yesterday, July 31st. They were due noon today, so I got them in with half a day to spare, thankfully. And I'm done with summer term now. I got to start getting ready for fall already. And you know it's coming to football season when it's time to start putting those fall syllabi together and thinking about opening week and mid-August and everything. So that's good and bad at the same time. I got to go back to work, but I like going back to work. I just got to do a whole lot of work in the meantime. August 1st, so I've been mailing out books. The AU basketball book has gone out. I think all of them have gone out now. All the orders that we got when we were first telling everybody have all been shipped out. I've been putting the hardcovers in a really nice cardboard box with padding. Took hours to do all this, but that's fine. I want them to be safe, right? I want them to arrive in good condition. And the paperbacks I put in a nice bubble wrap padded envelope, so they're good and protected too. They don't need quite the level of protection that a hardcover does. And I made like 3 trips to the post office last few days, so they're on their way. And I think a couple of people, I think Richard...
Yep.
And a couple other people have already gotten them and tweeted about them, so that's exciting. I'm really happy. I want to hear what they have to say about them. And for
Shane Bailey and Richard both tweeted today with a picture of their book with our signatures in it, and that was really exciting to see.
Yeah, it's so cool. For those that don't know what we're talking about, just very quick, we have done a book about Auburn basketball from Barkley to Bruce. Basically, it's from the mid-70s to the present. And they are in hardcover and in paperback. The paperback will be in bookstores and on Amazon probably November. The hardcover will probably be very difficult to acquire unless you're a patron. But patrons can order copies of both right now and already get them. So there you go. Another incentive. Just another way that we try to give value to being a patron, right? I mean, you know, there you go. So I've also been shipping out copies, the first set of copies of Gideon Kane Demon Hunter, the Sword and Sorcery anthology that I put together. And, John, very excited this week, Valdis V, my new novel about giant robots and giant monsters, came out. So three books.
You've been busy.
I haven't done a lot outside this summer. It's been a very much banging away in the basement in the cool area down here. It was cool enough the other day I went out with Mira and we played some golf. But other than that, yeah, it's been down here in the basement banging away. So, well, how long until the season starts? Like less than a month? More than a month?
Yeah, 26 days until the first games happen.
Good heavens. That's crazy. Good heavens. Well, and we have a little bit of news for football and basketball and baseball, really. So there's several things going on. So what do we know about football first up?
Well, first on the football front is we're going to talk about some recruiting stuff. They had the Big Cat Weekend this past Saturday, had a bunch of players on campus, had a bunch of both class of 2023 and class of 2024 football players. It went very well. Right before Big Cat started, they got a big commitment from an edge rusher named Wilkie Denaud, which is a great name. And then during Big Cat itself, they got commitments from two players in the class of 2024 class. So they're not two players that are, you know, basically going into their junior year of high school, but are both high four-star players, one of which is a quarterback from Miami named Posse. Mm-hmm. And the other one is a defensive back, a cornerback from Alabama, named Lane. Last name is Lane. And so those were both guys who were going to be basically leaders and helping recruit that class, the signing class that comes in a year from now. So overall, a very productive weekend. And, I think Auburn is in good shape with a lot of players. There's a couple more commitments coming out of this. There was a player, another edge rusher that had been committed to Nebraska, who decommitted from Nebraska after he left Auburn. And his name, Ashley Williams is his name. And supposedly he's going to commit to Auburn in the next few days, people think. So.
Well, so... Yeah, how the Big Cat Weekend went depends on your perspective. Now, first up, we lost our guy we thought we were going to get, Auburn Brock Glenn, the quarterback. He had been, we've been romancing him for a long time, but then Florida State kind of moved into the picture, and it was supposed to be a battle between Auburn and Florida State, and it was looking like he was leaning toward Florida State, and then on the day of his announcement, He ditched both of us, and went with Ohio State, who hadn't even offered him until June 7th. Ohio State offered him into June, and he said, "Well, forget Auburn and FSU." And I don't blame him for forgetting FSU, but I'm still disappointed that we didn't get him. But in terms of Big Cat Weekend, I mean, we only got one sure thing signed player for this year, the 2023 class in Denaud. Which was somebody we needed, and I did see a quote where who's our big edge rusher?
Derek Hall.
Yeah, Derek Hall said we're going to have to get him out there. He's going to have to play. He's going to have to get up to speed quick because he's going to have to play, and because we're thin, you know. And but other than that, that's the only commitment we got out of Big Cat, which is disappointing. We just have to hope that we made a good enough impression on the others that it might lead to something down the road. There was a funny bit about, I guess it was Adrian Posse, the quarterback from Miami, mm-hmm. who said it was said of him, I'm on Lane, the cornerback. It was said of him that one of his first memories was watching the kick six with his grandma. And every Auburn person on Twitter today was like, his earliest memory is the kick six, and then you just want to die. Because that's how long it's been and how old we all are now. So, I remember orange jerseys in Barfield. He remembers the kick six. That's pretty depressing.
It is a good reminder of the attention span, or not the attention span, but just the perspective about college football history that commitments have and high school players have. The players that are committing right now were in kindergarten when Cam Newton was Auburn's quarterback.
That's incredible. Yeah, it really does show how you have to sustain success because, you know, you and I and most of our listeners think back to the glory days of whatever year, and these players don't know anything about that. All they know is Gus Malzahn and 8-5. That's what they know. They think of Cam Newton the way we think of Jimmy Hitchcock, you know?
But they saw 2017 and they saw 2019.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, to be determined, Yeah, Ashley Williams is the 4-star defensive end from Louisiana. He was committed to Nebraska. He backed off. They expect him to commit to Auburn in the near future. Either a 3- or 4-star guy. He's 6'4", 215, so he probably needs to add some weight. I would imagine he would be redshirted his first year, probably. There's also Bo Hughley, a 4-star offensive tackle from Fairburn, Georgia, who committed to Georgia, has visited Auburn several times recently, and Georgia seems to be backing off of him. He's been one of our primary offensive line targets. We were recruiting him very hard, and right now it's about 50-50 if he goes to Auburn or Georgia. So keep an eye out for Bo Hughley. And then one commenter made this interesting point, said there were a lot of good prospects at Big Cat, and apparently it went pretty well. They had hoped to pick up one or two more commitments over the weekend, and there's still time, but it remains a wait-and-see game. Teams are recruiting against us by saying, quote, Harzin will not be there, unquote. That keeps players from committing, and we'll have to see how things go this fall before we really have a good sense of, you know, if we underachieve, they're probably right. If we do about what we expect, then, you know, get another year. And if we really overachieve, that would be, you know, that would help everything immensely. If we could go, I mean, let's think about this for a second. What number, what win-loss record would we need to kind of seriously take the pressure off of Harzin and help recruiting? What do you think?
8-4?
Yeah, that'd be good. Win all the games that it's really possible for us to win. Don't have a South Carolina moment, right? So.
This is the other thing about the Big Cat and the recruiting piece right now is we have 6 commitments, right? Or 5. And they are staying on their players that they really want, even if those players are hesitating, like you just described, or they've even committed to someplace else, right? There were a couple of players there. There was a tight end that's committed to Ohio State who was there, and there was another defensive player that was committed to Florida State or somewhere, and he was there. And so those guys were on campus, and what happens is Harzin and them could drop down and take some like low 4-stars, high 3-stars, and get 10 more commitments today.
Yeah.
Okay. Those guys are there, but they don't want to do that. They're trying to stay and keep their focus on these guys that they really want. And their message is just keep us in the loop, give us a chance, let us go out this fall and show you what we can do. And then you'll want to commit. And we got a spot for you. And they're not going to give their spots away immediately to take somebody safe who, again, I want to be clear, from a math perspective, they could take 10 or 12 commitments today from 3 and low 4-star guys and fill the class out and be in the top 20 in the country. And from a, you know, from that perspective, people would say, oh, it's okay, take the pressure off, blah, blah, blah. But from a quality perspective,
right,
we wouldn't be getting to where we need to get to win as much as we want. And so they're not doing that.
We would be turning into Mississippi State level, Kentucky level, South Carolina level program rather than where we think we belong, which is a step above
that.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have to tell the number then. We have like where would we stand in terms of just raw talent?
Right. So we have 5 commitments at this point, okay? But on a per player basis, we're 6th in the conference.
Yeah.
So all 5 of our guys are 4-star, all right? So, you know, we are behind, but like, you know, A&M has 9 commits, Ole Miss has 9 commits. It's not, you know, we get a couple more and we're kind of in the ballpark of things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we do need to get some more commitments, but I think part of it is this larger strategy to hold to their targets and get and go for these guys that they want. And there are some guys they feel pretty good about down the road. The overall plan is to recruit 30 kids, 15 to 20 high schoolers, and the rest transfers. And the high school number is based on who they can get that meets their threshold.
It's almost half and half, really, depending on how it works out. That's new, isn't it? That's not something we would have talked about in days of yore.
No, it's not. But I think it's reality.
It's different, yeah.
And it's also, and this is the other reason to recruit the way they're recruiting is these guys that you really like, these you know, high four-star guys, five-star guys that you really like, even if you don't get them a year from now, they may be in the transfer portal of coming back this way.
Oh, yeah.
So it doesn't hurt you to keep showing those kids the love and attention and how much you want them so they remember that. If you back away and never talk to them again, then down the road they'll be like, eh, Auburn walked away from me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was saying all week about the Brock Glenn guy when I thought he was going to Florida State. I said, okay, that's all right. I said, this is a different world. You give him a year at Florida State, he realizes that it sucks to lose to ACC teams every other week, and then we can get him then, you know, so if we need him that badly. So, yeah, I mean, it's nothing – recruiting is not the same animal it was just two or three years ago now. It's super right. important, but it's not the be-all, end-all, because if you don't get a guy that you've been recruiting, like you say, you keep the love flowing, and in a year or two, you may have him after all because things don't work out. Now, whether or not that's how it should be, whether or not it's just ruining the sport and all that kind of stuff, that is a whole other conversation for another day. But my point is that is how it is right now, and that's what we have to work with. And so given that context and those parameters, then, yeah, it's not a disaster to lose out on a recruit anymore as much as it used to be, in other words.
No, and again, like, when we talk about the transfer thing, we're going to need some guys who can play right away at a couple of positions, like offensive line or edge. And, you know, so we're going to need to take a couple of guys from other schools who can play right away at those positions. For sure. So it's okay.
What about... Do you have a note here about name, image, likeness at Auburn?
So the other big news, it was kind of before Big Cat Weekend, was Auburn announced a new name, image, and likeness collective.
Sounds like socialism.
It was a group that was announced by a longtime group of Auburn supporters, and it's called On to Victory.
Okay, sounds like capitalism, my bad.
And one of the big things that separates this group from others is some NIL collectives are taking a cut, a percentage of the money for the operation of the thing and to pay people who are working on it stuff. This group is not taking any money. Mm. No, none of the board members, the people on the thing will receive compensation.
Mm.
Right. So there's a bunch of people, Auburn people, who are invested in this thing to do their work, and they're trying to, you know, attract, funding from all levels of Auburn fans. You don't have to be like somebody who's can donate, you know, $100,000 to merit, you know, reach out to this group and investing and stuff. So I think it's a really good thing. One of the other, you know, Auburn collectives was kind of, you know, a shoestring operation. And one of the other ones that's been involved with some players is actually run by some former Georgia people. So I think this is a really good thing. And I think if this group gets it going and gets it moving forward, I think they'll be the main NIL collective at Auburn, and they'll be the ones making stuff happen. So it's actually really, really good news for us.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we got to compete. I mean, again, like I said, whether you approve of all this or not, and I know a lot of fans don't, and I understand, but whether you do or not, if you want Auburn to compete, if you want Auburn to be successful, we have to be able to navigate the waters of this ocean that we find ourselves in now, and it's just a different world. It is a different world than it was a couple of years ago, and it's just how it is. I mean, maybe it'll change again. I'm sure it'll continue to evolve every year a little bit, but we have to play the hand we're dealt, and that's the hand we're dealt, and so we've got to succeed at it.
I mean, it's
like if you're sitting in the middle of a poker game and you're really wishing they were playing Go Fish, well, if you want to be successful, you better play poker, even if you don't like poker.
That's right. And this NIL collective, the On to Victory one, will be aimed at all Auburn sports, not just football. So they're going to support basketball and baseball players and gymnasts and everybody else. So.
Okay. That's good. All right. Transfers. What's up with this?
So it looks like the NCAA is going to pass a rule. Right now, the rule is you have freedom to transfer once. And what it looks like what they're going to pass is a rule that will have limited periods of time, windows during which players can elect to leave a program and can commit to another program. But they will take away the one-time thing, and you could transfer as often as you like, basically, during those windows. Like once annually, but within that, you know, here's the windows, but otherwise you could transfer four times in 4 years if you wanted to.
So what has changed at the NCAA in the last few years that they've gone from being so strict about transfers to basically just free agency for everybody? What changed?
I think some of the transfer rules were conference rules and not NCAA rules, right?
Yeah.
But a lot of what changed is, you know, they had all these things like, well, if it was a hardship, if there's a family member that's been sick and you're moving closer to them. And then players were like hiring attorneys who were presenting cases to the NCAA, like, here's the hardship. Mm-hmm. And families were spending money and that kind of stuff. So the players could end up transferring, getting eligible at the school they wanted to play at. And people were like, really? Like, why don't we just do away with this legal facade thing and say, let the players go? And here's the other part. In non-football and basketball schools, they can pretty much do that already. Like, this is the football-basketball rule. Mm-hmm. It doesn't exist in other sports. So I think that was some of it. It's also more of kind of this, you know, giving the players some autonomy, some ownership over what they want to do. And again, they had the grad school thing. And I think part of it was they had the grad school immediate eligibility thing, and the world didn't end. You know, like, it was okay. So,
well, for some people, they seem to think it did, but yeah, for the most part, it came out all right. So, the world continues to evolve around us. The rules keep changing. It's a different sport every year, it seems like. But
the other thing is this: like, you need to focus on your current team and not just the recruits, and make your current team feel like you're engaged with them, you're invested in them, you want them to be successful. And not just on the shiny new high school players that are out there.
Yeah, for sure. And they'll have to now. That's interesting. Yeah. And it does. Yeah, it puts a new incentive on coaches to not make players miserable because they have an easier way to leave now. They can.
That's right. You can't do the drill sergeant thing for year round now.
Yeah.
It's not success.
Any other football news?
Just practice starts Friday. We're going to start hearing a whole bunch of stuff.
Holy cow. Well, all right. My understanding is that Harsin, I don't remember from last year, but last year we all knew who the quarterback was going to be going in. So my understanding about Harsin is he likes to wait till almost the end of summer practice to pick a quarterback, but then he's pretty steady with them throughout the season as long as they can play. So it may be a while before we know who our starting quarterback is, but we have our suspicions.
We have suspicions. I think, again, he's going to do the close to the vest thing, and we won't know until they run out on the field in the first game.
Yeah, I mean, I think Calzada's the starter, Finley's the backup, and what's his name, the athletic quarterback, is kind of special package deals. And Gurnier is the clipboard holder.
That red shirt.
With the headset, yeah. Basketball, they have gone to Israel.
And
we decided last episode they're fighting the six-day war against three Israeli teams, so that'll be fun. So what do we know about that so far? I know they start Tuesday. Before we get to our recruiting news, is there anything that we know? I did see they posted some videos of them in the old city and up on the mountain where you could see all around everything. That's pretty cool. And I saw Bruce with the big loaf of bread.
Chawa. Yes.
Yeah.
They're having a good time. And I think Bruce views this as a cultural exchange thing. Yeah. And he's talked about playing a team from an Arabic country in addition to the next time they do this year's down the road. So,
yeah.
I think it's fun. It's exciting. It's good for the players. In terms of the basketball stuff, the big things to expect are, I think we're going to play it pretty loose. You do not expect to see a finished, polished product, and don't panic if it doesn't look that way on the basketball side. I think they're going to change the lineup every game, who starts and that kind of stuff. So you're going to see some different combinations. And some guys may play two or three games and not play all three games. It doesn't mean.
Yeah, that's cool. I think they're going to meet with like the coach of the Palestinian team, national team, too. So I'm glad they're kind of talking to everybody or more people than just one or whatever. I don't want it to come out looking like some kind of propaganda thing.
Sure.
I want it to be more of like expose the players, these young men, to the world, right, to more stuff. And then they get to play some good basketball, and we'll see how it goes. That'll be fun. Four-star point guard. I mean, That was part of the debate today on Auburn Twitter, is that he's really a 5-star, but when they found out he was going to Auburn, it became a 4-star, because that's how it works, right? That's how it always works. But Aiden Holloway.
Yep, he committed to Auburn today, and, you know, it's the middle of the night over there, but I think Bruce and KD were both up on the thing and tweeting about it when it happened. So, again, an undersized point guard commits to Auburn.
Yeah, we've been
but
there.
This guy can play, and I think we're in good hands going forward from the point guard position, so it's very exciting.
It is exciting, and I mean, I just like that we just keep reloading. There's no rebuilding That's anymore, it. John. We are in reloading yeah. territory, and it is nice. It's good to be a blue blood in basketball, isn't it? I enjoy it.
It's a wonderful thing, and again, we said this 100 times, but I'm going to say it again. You know, 5 years ago, this would have been the biggest commitment in the history of Auburn basketball, and we would have been running outside the house yelling. They're like, "Oh yeah, another 4-star."
Again, could have been a 5-star. He's right on the bubble, 4-star, 5-star, and we're just like, he'll fit in somewhere, whatever. And remember now, as summer turns to fall and fall ages on a little bit, and our thoughts turn back to basketball again, we do have that book. And I want to reiterate to everybody, we're not making a ton of money off this book. Certainly not now. This is just for the patrons, and we're basically doing it at cost. In fact, I think I've probably lost money on it so far, honestly, with all the shipping and packaging. So when I keep promoting it, I'm not promoting it to make money. I'm promoting it because we worked hard on this thing, and I want you guys to read it, and I want to hear what you think about it. So that's why I'm talking about it. Let's see. Opening weekend game schedule.
I get excited at this time of year. I go to lsufootball.net /TV schedule.
Yes, the greatest website ever created.
A wonderful website. And I just start browsing the games, and I get excited. So I just wanted to take a few seconds and just tell you, like, my immediate thoughts looking ahead to, like, Labor Day weekend. Are you ready?
I will be in Atlanta for Dragon Con, and I'll be watching the games on the little TVs in the hotel as we drift through.
The weekend before Labor Day weekend, there are a few games.
Okay.
Nebraska versus Northwestern.
Yeah, sorry.
From Ireland.
Oh, that is cool then. All right.
Wyoming, Illinois, and then the late night game, Vanderbilt at Hawaii.
That's just an unholy matchup. What are Vanderbilt people going to do in Hawaii? They're going to be like, "Excuse me, sir. Yes, are you looking for the luau? No, the library." Where's the library?
All right. I'm not going to read all the games the first week.
Vanderbilt at Hawaii. Games, right?
But the Thursday night, September 1st, West Virginia at Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the backyard brawl or something.
The backyard brawl. Very excited about that.
Okay.
Friday night, we got in my neck of the woods, Virginia Tech at Old Dominion.
Okay. Old Dominion.
And then Illinois and Indiana and TCU at Colorado. Those are late Friday night. And then here we go, Saturday.
Please be better Saturday.
Saturday's
that's a,
way
that's
better.
A pretty,
okay?
That's a pretty brutal Friday, I got to admit. So I got to tell you. So go ahead.
All right. Saturday, early game, North Carolina at Appalachian State.
Okay, yeah, that's interesting. You got my. That's that could be.
Now we're into the CBS window.
That's a sneaky good,
Sneaky good. Now we're in the CBS window. Cincinnati at Arkansas.
Ooh.
All right.
That's tasty.
All right.
Intersectional.
Oregon versus Georgia. Bo Nix, Oregon versus Georgia from the Georgia Dome in Atlanta. You will see the Ducks.
Get out. All right.
All right.
That's two very interesting matchups.
Then we get into the evening.
Yeah.
Utah at Florida.
Oh. See, these are matchups that don't sound like traditional good matchups, but based on current college football trends, they are.
Yes. And then the last one on Saturday, Notre Dame at Ohio State.
How late is that starting? Oh, is that one of those like NBC?
That's 7:30, yep.
All right.
And then the Sunday night game, Florida State LSU from New Orleans.
Oh, that could go either way. There's, you know, in recent years, that would have been a butt-whooping blowout for LSU. But right now, we really don't know what to expect.
That's right. And then the last game, the Monday night game, is Clemson at Georgia Tech.
But well, it started low, it really peaked high, and then it kind of fell on its face there at the end. But in that middle, though, that Saturday is some
Afternoon, Saturday evening, pretty good.
That is some prime cuts right there, boy. That's okay. All right. So I'm looking forward to that. I it sounds like the best games will be when I'm at Dragon Con, unfortunately, but I always manage to find a way to either have it on my phone or to see it in the little restaurant as you walk by in the Hyatt or whatever. So, and in fact, in 19, Jared and I got done at the hotels where the con is, and we got back to the Airbnb we were renting, and Delvin was already there and had the Auburn Oregon game on, and we walked in just as Stove was catching that remember when he was undefended for that touchdown from Nix? We walked in the door and he caught that, and we're just like, oh, so that was a good way to walk in the door. That was good. So one other bit of news from the baseball world. Tim Hudson, our pitching coach and great MLB player, has taken the job as manager of Lee Scott Academy in Auburn. So I guess he won't have to sell his house. He just drives to a different place to go to work every day. And, I mean, it seems weird to go from Auburn University to Lee Scott Academy, but I guess the difference is pitching coach versus manager, right?
It is, but it's also probably a lot less travel. He could be home more. I don't know if he has kids to go to that school or not, but I appreciate what he did for Auburn. He made a big difference the last couple of years. His team, so.
You know, in terms of his sport and his stature, he's one of the greatest athletes in Auburn history, isn't he?
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, he's certainly one of our top five baseball players that have ever played for Auburn, and that includes Frank Thomas and Bo Jackson. I mean, he's in the top five, so.
Yep.
Yeah, to have him for a round. So, and they've already replaced him. I didn't get the name of the guy that replaced him, but I know we've already hired a new coach to replace him as our pitching coach, so. You just got to trust that he'll work out. So.
Yeah, but the new baseball coach has done a really good job, and you know, I think they're in a good place.
So we had a bullet point here about how should Auburn fans feel now and going forward. Remind me, was that something we talked about last time and said let's have a conversation about this? I can't remember.
I think we want to start the conversation and then we want to continue it with our guests the next 2 weeks.
Okay. Yeah.
And the question for us that you posed after some of our earlier discussions was, how should Auburn fans feel going forward? What should our expectations be based on the current landscape of college football and where we are in it?
What kind of program are we now and what should we be, right? I mean, are we what we want to be? Have we taken a step down?
Right. So it's about how do we view ourselves?
Not that we were ever
expectations.
Not that we were ever Nebraska in their prime, but think about Nebraska 20 years ago and then Nebraska now. Is that Auburn? Have we taken a similar step to being a program that is a step lower than what we want to be? I mean, what's another example? Miami? I mean, I'm trying to think of a program that was like a top 10 program.
Texas?
Yeah. Oh, Lord. Well, that's a whole other soap opera unto itself, isn't it? But I mean, I know that other fans don't think of us.
Southern Cal?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I think they're on their way back in a hurry now, and it really shows how much difference it can make when you have a traditional program and you put the right people in place. Stop flailing around with people that don't really move the needle and go out and get somebody that moves the needle. But you have to be able to get somebody that can move the needle to want to come to your place, and not everybody can do that. You know, I would argue there's probably 10 programs that can just go out and get anybody they want at a given time. And I don't think we're one of them. Our coaching hires over the years have tended to be kind of niche, you know? They haven't really – when have we ever gone out and gotten the big name? You know, we always talk about it. You know, like Auburn fans are always like, we should get Bob Stoops, you know, we should get whoever. We always talk about the big name. But we never do that. We always either get the up-and-coming kind of stealth person or somebody with ties to Auburn from recent past. Or somebody that's like surprisingly good at another school. You know, I mean, we don't ever go and get like the big splash name. We've never done that. We flirted with them. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, what do you think about that?
I mean, you've pointed this out. Where did we hire our coaches from? Wyoming?
Yep.
Ole Miss?
Yep.
Or, no, Wyoming? Samford.
Exactly.
Ole Miss. Arkansas.
Well, where was Chizik?
Iowa State.
Iowa State. Lord.
And Arkansas State. Boise State.
Yeah, I mean, we get the guys that we think are on the way up and try to
At their current location.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so, I mean, you're going to get what you pay for, and you're going to get what you get. And we had our great moments with all of them. Well, except for the current one so far. But we've had great moments with all of them. And that may be part of why we don't change that approach, is that every coach we've hired going back to Doug Barfield has had at least one season where we thought, this is it. You know, we haven't hired a coach that just came out, fell on their face, and never got off of it, threw up all over themselves, pooped the bed. We haven't hired a coach like that. Well, we hope we haven't.
And I would say some of that is about them, and some of that is about Auburn.
That's true.
And don't let the negative discussion about, you know, Harsin and where he's going or whatever distract you from the fact that, you know, Auburn is one of the few schools that can be at those levels.
Exactly.
They can reach there and has consistently been there. Not every single year, not every year we want to be there, but we have been there a lot. More than a lot of other schools in the SEC or the country. So, you know, some of it is about those coaches, but some of it is about Auburn having the resources and potential to get to those places.
Right, right. We may not string together multiple great seasons in a row. That's one of our bugaboos. But over time, over 10 years, over 20 years, over 30 years, we've had as many great seasons as almost anybody. They just bounce up and down, right, unfortunately. So, and I still don't understand why, but it's true. So, how should we feel about the program? Where should our expectations be now?
Especially with SEC expansion coming, Oklahoma and Texas joining the conference, so we're going to 16 teams. Like, how do we view ourselves? When we've talked about this a lot, the fact that, you know, Georgia just won their first national title, which still makes me want to vomit.
Yep.
And, you know, Alabama is coached by the greatest coach in the history of college football right now. And I'm going to say this again. I've said this before in this podcast. I'm going to say it again. Someday soon, Nick Saban is going to retire and walk away, and it's not going to be the same. Everybody, a lot of people who've, you know, recently or, you know, followed college football for the last 10 years think it's going to be this way forever, and it is not.
I was just watching The Godfather 2 this afternoon, and toward the end, there's the old guy from Florida that has been bedeviling Michael Corleone the whole time.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, he's had a heart attack. He's about to die. Don't worry about him. And Michael says, he's been dying of the same heart attack for 20 years. And so Michael puts the hit on him. And I'm thinking, we might need to put the hit on Saban because he's been retiring of the same old age for 20 years, John. I don't know if he's ever going to. Those pacts with Satan are strong, you know, as long as
I don't know if you saw that thing the other day that he almost retired after the kick six.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's been retiring from the same kick six for 10 years now. He needs to go ahead and do it. I just want to point out, I am not advocating any violence and murder against Nick Saban. That was all metaphorical. I don't know. Okay. But, yeah, we need to put the metaphorical hit on him because he's been dying of the same kick six for 10 years.
So I refuse to lower my expectations.
Thank you. Yes.
I don't believe in that for Auburn. I think we're a team that can compete for the SEC title, but my expectations are realistic too. That we're not going to win it every year because we're in a conference where Georgia and Alabama and Florida and LSU
Texas and Oklahoma and now
Texas and Oklahoma and Texas A&M and stuff. So
ranted about that for 3 weeks now. So,
but I think we're going to continue to compete with those teams, and I think the playoff's going to expand, and we're going to make the playoff as a member of the SEC, and that's going to take a lot of pressure off everybody down the road at some point. So I think I'm not going to lower my expectations for Auburn's football program. And I'm not saying that we're going to get there tomorrow, but I'm not going to say that, you know, we should settle or be happy with where things are, where we're going. And that's one of the reasons that we gave Gus Malzahn $35 million to go away, was that we weren't happy with 7-5, 8-4.
Here's what's going to happen. I'll tell you. Winning the conference is no longer going to be a big deal. It's going to be like basketball. You win the SEC in basketball, the fans of that team, that school, are very excited for a couple of days, and then you go off to the tournament, right? It's like, yay, we get to hang a banner, we won the SEC. That's awesome. That's good. That's awesome. And then 3 days later, you're not thinking about it, right? You're not thinking about that anymore. You got the SEC tournament. You got the NCAA tournament, hopefully. You are not even thinking about that time you won the SEC regular season. And I think that's the way it's going to be in football now. If the college football playoff expands to 8 or bigger, and the more it expands, the bigger it gets, the more it's going to be like what I'm saying right now. But the more that the college football playoff expands, the more you're going to equate the value of your season and your team to getting into that tournament. It's going to be like, oh, we won the SEC in football regular season this year. Cool. Now, where are we in the playoffs? Who do we play in the playoffs? Where are we playing that first playoff game? You know what I mean? I know that there are people that say, no, winning the SEC is huge and it always will be. It will be for the team that does it. And for a few days, you'll be like, yeah, we won the SEC, woo, and beat 15 other teams, like 8 of which are powerhouses. Heck yeah, celebrate that you won the SEC. But those other 15 teams and fan bases are not going to care. They're not going to be interested that you won it. They're not going to sit back and go, well, we got to spend the next year hearing about how so-and-so won the SEC, because nobody's going to be talking about that. You win the SEC, and now off to the playoffs, and that's what matters. And because the playoffs are going to give SEC team, give like what, maybe 3 spots, 4 spots to an SEC?
We're going to go to 12 or 16 teams, and it's going to be like 7 spots.
It's going to be half the SEC. And believe me, John, when Auburn and Alabama and Georgia and LSU and Oklahoma, whoever, are all in the college football playoffs, nobody's going to give a crap that Georgia won the SEC a couple of days ago. They're not going to care, because there's other stuff. There's something else that matters more, and that's what it's going to be about. It's going to take the place of how we care about bowl. It already has. We don't care about bowls anymore. The Sugar Bowl now compared to 20 years ago? Give me a break.
Yeah. Absolute truth.
Yeah. So it's going to be the playoffs. The playoffs are going to be like the NCAA tournament, right? All we remember is who got in the NCAA tournament, how far they got, did they get to the Final Four, did they win the national championship. We're winning the SEC, going to the Outback Bowl, whatever, none of that, nobody's going to care. That is my prediction. And it's partly because when you've got that many teams in a conference, that's that many teams that didn't win it and don't want to hear about it, right? When you've got 10 SEC teams and 5 of them are uncompetitive and it's a battle of the other 5 to win the SEC, then when one of them wins it, the other 4 are like, we got to get them next year. We got to get them. When there's 16, they're going to be like, hey, we won. And others are going to be like, okay, cool. We're in the tournament. We're in the playoffs. I mean, am I crazy here?
No, I think you're exactly right. And I think you said, like, then people aren't going to care about that back bowl. I think people don't care about it now.
Exactly. Even less, yeah. Because it becomes the NIT. Those bowls that are not part of the playoff become the NIT. And sure. Who gives a flying – again, who cares about the NIT? Mediocre teams that get into it. And that's all.
Not blue bloods like Auburn basketball.
That's right. God, John, just think, a few years ago, we'd have sawed off our left pinky to get in the NIT.
We wanted that NIT home game.
Oh, my gosh. It's in our book. I talk about how it was actually Cliff Ellis was the coach that was able to get us a home NIT game. We had never played a home NIT game before. Under Sonny Smith or under Tommy Joe. When Ellis came in, one of the things he did was use his connections, right? He was very connected with college football world, college basketball world. He got us a home NIT game, and it was huge. It was a big deal. And now we scoff at such things, and that's exactly that's what I mean. So yeah, I think that it's really changing a lot, and changing quickly. I mean, like 2/3 of our lives, college football was pretty much the same. Going from 10 to 12 and having an SEC championship game was the biggest change we thought we'd ever see. And that is such small potatoes.
And I'm still mad about it.
Yeah. Dang, Arkansas and South Carolina. Who let them in?
The newcomers in South Carolina.
Who let all this riffraff inside the door? Oh, they're going to hate us. That's fine. All right. Well, anyway, I'm always curious what our listeners think. So if you got
30
thoughts
years ago, the new kids.
I know. Yeah, it was 30 years ago, wasn't it? Yeah, this is the 30th anniversary. God, this is the 30th anniversary of the SEC Championship game. Good gosh. But yeah, if you have thoughts about that, I'd love to know. I'd love to hear. So drop us a tweet or go to auwishbone@gmail.com, and we'll talk about it next week, too, with our guests. So you want to talk about who we got, what we got coming up, and then we'll have our break here?
So we got 3 big episodes in a row coming up. This topic we just talked about, Auburn's expectations of what they should be, we're going to talk to our guest about. Next week, we got Jerry Hinnon, the one for Jerry Hinnon, going to talk to us about, we're going to talk about the basketball team and what he saw from their games in Israel, and talk about expectations for football. Then we're going to have the great Brian Stoltz on August 15th. Talk about fall practice and what he's hearing and what's happening out there. Then the week after that, August 22nd, barbecue show.
The barbecue show. I mean, Jerry Hinnon is walking through that door.
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans. Kevin McHale's not walking through that door, and Robert Parrish is not walking through that door.
But Brian Stoltz is what I'm excited to have both of them, because they're both great guests. We've had them both on before. Jerry has a bunch of stuff in our We Believed audio series. And if you want to hear that, by the way, there is the companion book, which is very popular. But if you want to, for free, hear the audio of We Believed, the original series that led to the book, just go to www.auwishbone.com. And there are audio players for every episode that we did. All 8 episodes are right there on the page, so you can listen to the whole thing. We never have done our last 2 episodes. Someday.
It's been an evolving situation.
It has. Yeah. So. I mean, when we did We Believed, the other episodes, Gus still had years left to go. And now we have a whole new coach that may have come and gone almost before. So that episode's going to cover more and more. We got to
get it in the bank.
Jump on that big boy, yeah. Well, we got the other book coming up, too. So we can make 2023 the year of finishing up We Believe, both audio and the other book. So at least start on it. It took 2 years to do the first book, but we'll see. And I was going to say, so Jerry's always good. He's been on We Believe a bunch. And Brian is really interesting because he covers it as a reporter, working reporter, and had really good, I thought, observations for us last year from fall practice. So he'll have lots interesting, I think, to say. And he, you know, he kind of plays a character on another podcast that's entertaining. But we treat him with a lot more respect here, I think, than he possibly gets in other places. We love him and value his insights and his expertise. So I'm looking forward to having him on. All right. And then, of course, the barbecue show, August 22nd, is always our biggest show of the year. All right, so we got to pause here to thank the patrons who are currently the ones that ordered it are receiving the basketball book. So if you are a patron or you would like to be, if you'd like to be a patron and get all the various benefits, including ordering a copy of the basketball book, go to www.auwishbone.com. www.auwishbone.com. I'll skip the Babylon 5 podcast address. I've done that one recently. And when you become a patron, you can there's a link, there's a post there that tells you how you can order the books. We're basically selling them at cost. In fact, like I said, even at a little bit of a loss, just because we want our patrons to have them early. It just costs a lot more to print them early and print hardcovers than it would be like when Amazon does them later on. And so we're just kind of like eating it so that everybody that is our patrons can have that benefit. So all you have to do, go to www.auwishbone.com. here, and we don't have ads other than me, so here are the fine folks that we thank for supporting our program. They include Samuel Salvatore, Chris and Clinton Stewart, Carl Von Drunker, Dr. Crackham, Bradley Blackman, Daniel Odom, Gary Grant, a.k.a. AU Fan at KSC, Logan Chilton.
You sit at my table.
And by the way, I always fail to mention this, that all you have to do when you sign up is put whatever name or phrase or whatever you want in your namespace, and that's what I see on my screen here. And some people even include soundboard clips. So you can have a lot of fun with this. Matthew Flowers, Michael, you don't have to though, Michael Kirshner, Phil Amthor, Richard Stevens, who got his book today, Steve Trawick, Susan Trawick, Trombone Tiger, Willie Carden, 76 Tiger, the new night manager at
Joe's Barbecue and Foot Massage. Joe's Barbecue and Foot Massage.
That was, by the way, the theme of one of our recent barbecue shows, is where that audio clip came from. We had a whole, the barbecue show always has a theme, and that was the theme one year, was Jones Barbecue and Foot Massage. How? I don't even remember, but it was, and it was pretty entertaining, I thought. And Kanjian, Ben Bloodworth, Chris Hilton is the assistant manager at
Jones Barbecue and Foot Massage. Jones Barbecue and Foot Massage.
Wow, there's a lot of, we have a lot of employees from that fine establishment as patrons. That's pretty cool. Chris Thrash, Clay Henson, Dan Thompson, David Hegler, Earl Ricks, Eric Morgan, Bobby, Jacob and Robin Fleming. I hope you guys are going to be at Dragon Con. Catherine England, Kevin Smith, Mickey B. No one fights like Gaston. Old Mrs. Miracle Medical Staff, Algo Rhythm and Blues, Paul Miles, Phil Davis, Reynolds Wolf.
Like an unwanted neighbor that comes over and visits.
From the Weather Channel, Reynolds Wolf.
Thundersnow.
Rich Reimer, Robo Harzin, Rusty Owen, Sarah Brown, Steve Harlan, Tank Hunter, Theodore Gary, War Eagle Always, Warhammer 6, W.D.E. Richie, Russia, number one, Bama, number one. All right. Wes Atkinson, William Morgan, and joining me as always is my patron, Patrick Williams.
Please clap.
Auburn Blue, Blake Heron, Boris the Tiger.
Blame yourself.
Brandon Smith, Carter Glouse. By the way, I'm curious to see folks that got the basketball book. There is a special appearance in it by Boris the Tiger, and I'm curious to see who finds it first. Carter Glouse, Cato the Barner, Colby, that was not my idea, by the way, but he did get in. Colby Butler, Corey Smyer, it probably won't be in the official, they're all official. He probably won't be in the wide release Amazon version. So this is like a special little bonus for our patrons. Daris Benton, David Simpson, Di Bama, Helping Van, who still hasn't upgraded his insulation. Hugh Anderson, is that a mullet on your logo? It certainly is. Josh Teal, Kevin Kenoy, Kevin Mahan, Lane Middleton, Mike Finley, Papa Todd, Randall Walker, Rob Morgan, Russell Milling, Sarah Hines, Sasquatch, Shane Bailey. Shane got his book today. Shannon Butson, Snowdog, Stephen Houston, Tim Pittman, Timothy, Tony Perry, Weagle 87. And Mark always lets me insert my favorite audio, so today it will be...
Now when he was a young man, he never thought he'd see people stand in line to see the boy king. How'd you get so funky? Did you do the monkey?
Oh, that was a good one. Let's see. I lost my place. Oh, dear.
Whoever asked for King Tut.
You know, what's funny is that when I can't find something on the soundboard, and I make them all different colors so that this doesn't happen as often as it could, and as soon as I say that, yeah, well, that's not the one I was looking for, though. Even though I do, there are times I just have to search the entire thing up and down. All right. A.J. Herman.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
Honestly, I could have gone and gotten it off of YouTube again faster than that. So that's really embarrassing on my part, and I'm sorry. Alex Dwin, Ben Amos, Ben Regas, Brian Albanese, Charles Mooney, Chris Como, Chris Braun, Colonel Dad, Construction Tiger, Daniel Barnett, Daniel Witten, Elizabeth Donald.
We got to get better at celebrating.
I want early access to the basketball book. Well, you got it. In fact, I think I mailed it out today. Is it time for Mercer Hate Month yet? Have we played that?
Always.
Have we played that?
Always.
Have I given that one away yet, or was I saving it?
I don't think so.
Do you want me to save it, or you want me to play it?
That's up to you. You got a fan request right now.
It's Mercer Bears Hate Week 2022.
Is there anything?
Podcast completely off the rails after that.
Is there anything left I didn't include in that one is the question. I mean,
you unloaded the whole clip in that one, I think, man.
I was like John Wick. I just opened up. All right. Well, there you go. I'll try not to overdo it. We'll leave that one for John going to choke himself. We'll leave that one for, I'll save it. I'll try to save it again until Mercer week. But that was a, well, there you go. Thanks for asking that question. Let's see. A few more to go. I'll buy this for $1. James Taylor, Jason the Weasel Skull Albrick, Jeremiah Schumann, John Samuel Sinker, Jingleheimer Schmidt, Joey Miller, Joseph Iliff, JT Jarhead, Justin Bean, Kenneth Brent Rains.
Someone knows. God knows.
AKA Auburn Dead for Life. Loving Auburn apparently means you have to
smoke weed every day.
I don't write the rules, John. Mark Squire, MVP captivating Kathy Bright.
You don't have any friends. Nobody likes you.
Oh, gosh. Paul Bankson, Richard Ryder, Robert Drain, Royce Alvarez, Russell Souther. That's not true about Kathy. She's awesome. Russell Souther, Ruth, and Darren Sutherland. I just saw a cool thing on them on social media this afternoon. Spanky, being at the bottom of this list is like being
the 11 a.m. Jefferson Pilot time slot of death.
Sports Illustrated's Auburn Elvis, Stephen Thompson, the Slinko family, Trevor Johnson, work, hard work, Brent Rumble, and Chris, plus our one-time and anonymous donors. We thank you all. All of you appreciate it, and we also appreciate those of you that ordered the book. We hope you like it, and let us know what you think. A quick Fantasy League update. We are doing the Fantasy Formula One League, and it just keeps being more and more frustrating. Daniel O continues to lead. Eric Morgan is second. John Ringer, I've heard of this guy, is third. Royce is fourth. Eric's second team is fifth. Royce's second team is sixth. Alexandra, I think we know who that is seventh. I am 8 and 10 with Daniel O's other team in between. All right, that's your top 10 in the Fantasy Formula One League. We're having the summer break now, so we will be back about the same time college football season starts is when the Formula One will come back for the Belgium, I think, right? They go to Spa to start off the second half of the season. That up in the Ardennes Forest, home of Formula One and Nazis attacking Bastogne, right? Something like that. So the Battle of the Bulge. All right. Let's see. I think we've got a guess the game from Jared. Are you ready?
I am ready. Bring it on.
All right. Here we go. Let's fire it up. Uh-oh.
Who can it be now? Hello, Van, John, the rest of the AU Wishbone family. This is Jared Albrick, the yard sale artist, here with Guess the Game 59. Guess the Game 59 is brought to you by listener R. Conrad Ramsey, and let's give it a listen.
Third punt by and they are running a fake. Taken by the short up back out over the 50-yard line to the 45. And it's has been moved from safety to linebacker was the up blocking back. They snapped it to him and he may have just pulled a play that got old Mo back in the corner of Auburn.
All right, guys, I'll see you in the hidden file.
All right. Number one, that was the great late Ron Franklin calling the game.
Yep.
Number two, it was a punt that Auburn ran a fake punt and the up back ran it way down the field. They got a key first down later in the game.
I don't remember us ever doing that. So this is a total mystery to me.
I think this, I mean, again, because of the Ron Franklin part, I think this is Bowden-Tuberville
time. Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
You know, was there a game mid-2000s where the Tuberville, where the offense was bogging down a little bit and we did something like this? I think so.
I mean, I think you're absolutely 100% on the right track. I just have no memory of that scenario where we did a snap to the up back to a, did he say a
defensive player who was a safety turned linebacker.
Yeah.
So I was trying to think about that too. I don't know who that could be.
Safety turned linebacker wouldn't be Chris Frost, would it?
No.
He was always a linebacker.
I think he was always a linebacker. I was trying to think about somebody that got bigger.
Yeah. Who did we move? I can't remember us moving a safety to linebacker.
We have.
I mean, I'm going to have to go to the hint file. I can't. I think everything you said is right, but it doesn't tell me a game or an opponent or a year. Okay.
That's fair.
That's a good deal. Let's go to the hint. And by the way, Jared, good job because this one is killing us. This is good.
Here we are in the hint file. Let's check it out with those bleeps removed.
Third punt by Bliss. And they are running a fake. Taken by the short up back out over the 50-yard line to the 45. And it's Will Herring, who has been moved from safety to linebacker, was the up blocking back. They snapped it to him. And the old riverboat gambler, Tommy Tuberville, may have just pulled a play that got old Mo back in the corner of Auburn.
All right, guys, I'll see you in the answer file.
All right. Well, that so narrows it
down to 4 years.
Yeah, mid-2000s.
It's 2002 through 2005, because that was Bliss. Okay. Bliss is our punter, and he was punter 2-5. Vaughn was – he and Vaughn came in together from Tennessee, and they were 2-5.
And I think Herring was later.
Mm.
I think Herring was, like, came in 2004 and was there, like, 4, 5, 6, 7, something like that. So I want to say maybe 2005.
Okay. So I'm trying to think games that were on ESPN that year. Certainly the Georgia game, because that was the Cox to Aroma Shadu fumbles in the end zone game.
And we didn't fake a punt in that game. When did we play Florida in this period?
We did not play Florida in 05 or 04 or 03. We played them in 02. We played them in 01, 02, and 06 and 07. So the only time that Cody Bliss would have been our punter and we played Florida was 02 and we lost that game, and Jared doesn't use games we lost. So it's not Florida. So if it's nothing. So, I mean, yeah, I don't have enough. See, here's the thing. One of us would have to remember this play from a game, and we don't.
Yeah, I don't.
So,
and there was no clues about the opponent.
Yeah.
Even the player name or something.
No clues. I mean, the one game that occurred to me was when we played South Carolina and kept the ball the entire third quarter, and I thought maybe this was like how we kept it or something. Yeah. But that was 06, and Cody Bliss was gone by then. So, I mean, if it's between 02 and 05, it could be, and we won it. And it was on at like 6-7 o'clock at night on ESPN or ESPN2 with Ron Franklin. I mean, we played LSU in that time slot a lot, but 04 was the one in the middle of the day because it was big. We lost in 05. We lost in 03. It could be the 02 game. I was at that game. I thought that was during the day too. So it wouldn't have been Ron Franklin. So LSU didn't, I'm pretty sure it's not Alabama. We didn't do that against Alabama.
No way.
And we didn't beat Georgia except in 04. And I don't think that was an ESPN game. That was a big game. Like they were top five.
That was a CBS
game. Yeah. So it's not LSU. It's not LSU. It's not Georgia. It's not Alabama. It's not Florida. Tennessee, Ole Miss. Those are two teams we play on ESPN at night sometimes, Ole Miss and Tennessee. I can't think of anybody else unless it's an out-of-conference. All right, let's guess Tennessee or Ole Miss, but that's all we got. All right.
Let's go Ole Miss.
Okay. Here we go.
All right, John, Van, if you guys guessed it, this was Auburn playing Washington State in the season home opener of 2006, then you guessed right. That game has a lot of meaning to me because I went to that game right before I deployed to Iraq. I scheduled that one with some friends in just in case it was my last football game ever. But hey, it worked out for me that it wasn't, and that ended up being a really fun game and a really great day. So if you got Auburn playing Washington State in 2006, well, then you've got it. If you want to be like our Conrad Ramsey and send in a suggestion for Guess the Game, you can do that pretty easily. I am at Yard Sale Artist Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Or you can email me directly. I am Jared, that's J-A-R-R-O-D, at theyardsaleartist.com. And until next time, Van, John, War Eagle. Look at me
now. I just didn't realize Cody Bliss was still on the team. He was. I'm looking at the roster right now. And Vaughn, too, yeah. How are they still on the team? Did they redshirt in 02?
He must have maybe got hurt and redshirted a year.
I guess. Well, I mean, they both were, though. They came in together, and they're both on the roster in 06. Well, now I'm like, all right, I got to go back. I got to go back to 2002. I know this is not what we plan to do, but okay.
Well, while you're looking, I just want to say that was a great clue, and well done by Jared and Mr. Conrad there. That was good stuff.
Yeah, that was tough. Man, all the NFL logos on our roster those years is just astonishing to compare to now. 2002, they must have redshirted because Damon Duvall was the punter and Philip Yost was the kicker. So I guess so did Yost. I thought that Vaughn kicked pretty much all 4 years. Oh, they were both. They both kicked. Okay, in 03. And then in 04... it was just fun. I wonder what happened to Yost. Did he quit? He must have transferred or something. Oh, well. Well, now we know, and that was a good one. I'm going to go back. I'm curious now. I've gone down the Philip Yost rabbit hole on the internet. Kicking 2002, 2003, sophomore and junior. And it doesn't say what he did. He must have given up football or something. That's weird. Huh. Okay. Maybe somebody out there knows better.
He Yosted us.
Thanks. Gosh. All right. Well, just for that.
Thank you. Order questions to the Prime Minister.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone podcast.
I don't have facts to back this up.
All right. So what do we got going on this week?
All right, we received some emails, some listener questions, some feedback about our draft.
Oh,
our expansion draft.
Oh, so that was fun. That was a lot of fun. Good, good, good.
First emails from a frequent emailer, Cato, who says, "Hey, fellas, yes. no real question, just a comment about taking Miami as the second pick in the draft." And his email is entitled, "What's the drafting equivalent of an armchair quarterback?" He says, "Some friends and I were discussing Miami the other day, and they pointed out these stats to me. Miami has had fewer bowl wins in the last 15 seasons than Gus can't win a bowl game Malzahn had in his 8 seasons at Auburn.
Holy
Miami has only had one bowl win in the last 15 seasons. For comparison's sake, Miami of Ohio has 2 in the same time frame.
Wow.
Thanks, Cato, the Miami hater.
Wow. Well, I hate Miami, too, and that makes me happy to hear that. But it is amazing. And again, what it shows is that we have a longer memory, and we remember Miami absolutely terrorizing college football for a while there, for what, 20 years almost? It's just hard
to remember. In my mind, Miami is, again, they haven't been good recently. They've been inconsistent, all that. But I remember Miami is a great team and really fun to watch. So,
and they're in a great location in terms of recruiting and everything. So they ought to be like USC and something.
That's right. All right. So, and then our next email about the draft was from Johnny Dent, who says, "Howdy, fellas. Enjoyed the segment. Here are my reactions. I don't think either conference is significantly stronger in terms of football quality. He says, I think Vance has a bit more brand power. His inclusion of North Carolina gives him the edge there. He says, neither conference gives a fig about geographic continuity, but there's no real way around that with the teams to choose from. He says both conferences are almost entirely devoid of rivalries, which is probably the biggest downside. He said, John, he's talking about me, should have gone for TCU instead of Houston, because then I would have had TCU Baylor, which are two schools that really at least genuinely hate each other.
That's a good thought.
His feeling is the worst pick was West Virginia. It's a tiny state that's shrinking. They're okay at the moment, but there's no reason to believe they'll improve long term. He says the worst exclusion is Georgia Tech. They've been bad for two decades, but they have everything you want in a program. And, you know, he goes on about how he thinks they could be hire a good coach and they'll be back.
Okay.
He says, if I'm a media executive, I think the two conferences are worth a similar amount, but I might pay a little bit more for John's conference. With Van has a slight edge in terms of brand quality, John's has the presence in populous states of Texas and Ohio.
This is good. This is the deep analysis.
I'm saying Johnny Dent really thought about this draft, and I appreciate that.
I appreciate it too very much. Yes.
And he says geographic continuity and rivalries are going to be proved to be much more important to conferences than commissioners and media people are giving them credit right now. That's why, while both the SEC and Big Ten have been aggressive and added good quality teams, the SEC is going to end up on top. Austin, Texas to Gainesville, Florida may be a long way, but it's a hell of a lot less than New Jersey to L.A. And a lot more interesting matchup anyway.
Wow. Yeah. Yep. Good stuff. Great. Possibly listener comment question of the month, maybe year.
It's fair.
That's good.
Our next email is from Bill Miner, who says, so I've seen a lot of talk, Van talk a lot about raising Kane's chicken.
Johnny's reign lasted one question. It lasted one question, and it's already dethroned by the Raising Cane's. Well, wow.
You haven't heard the whole question yet. It says, since I've seen Van talk a lot about Raising Cane's chicken, I saw where that Joey Chestnut guy ate 44 chicken strips in 5 minutes.
Oh, God.
Is he secretly communicating a good season for South Carolina, or do I have to wait for the barbecue show to find out?
Now we need to have a chicken finger show. Maybe that should be what we do in the future instead of barbecue. I don't know. They don't last as well. You know what I mean? The barbecue kind of, you can put the barbecue out and like come back to it a couple hours later and be all right. But the chicken fingers are going to get dried out and nasty after a while. So unless I run all the way up to Fairview Heights, grab Raising Cane's in the little box, wrap it up in towels, come flying back down here just in time for the barbecue show. That's not going to work. So
agree. All right. One other comment about the draft. This is from Rusty Swingle on Twitter, who says he thinks we missed the boat by leaving out the Sun Belt, Coastal Carolina, and Louisiana, and a couple of others.
Yeah.
Should have been added to the draft.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. The question that we kept running into was, do you want a team that's in the middle of a particularly good run, but that has more to do with, like, the current coach who may be off at Florida or Tennessee next week, or do you want like a program that's based in like a good location and has some kind of a tradition of being good? And I tend to value the stability and the potential over they've been good for the last couple of years and could be crappy again next year. You know what I mean? That's why, you know, Agreed. Coastal Carolina is certainly fun to watch now, but when that coach leaves, why would any
quarterback?
Yeah. I mean, exactly. So, So that's, we don't know, but there's no guarantees.
Agree on that. And the last email was not a question, but was from listener Ann Kanjian, who says, hey, John and Van, not a question. Just want to thank Van for mentioning the book, The Perfect Pass. It was recently cheap on Kindle, so I grabbed it, really enjoyed it, and learned a lot. Thanks for all you do, War Eagle Ann.
Oh, thanks, Ann. That is awesome. And by the way, I think I shipped Ann's book off yesterday. No, yesterday was Sunday. So today, this morning, yeah. So it'll be on to you in a few days. Her books, she actually ordered more than one. That book, A Perfect Pass, is so good. It's really, really interesting because it's pretty much a biography of Hal Mumme and what's his name?
Leach.
Yeah. But in the process of talking about their football biographies, it talks about their offense and the places that they, and the lengths, the literal lengths they've had to go to over the years to even try to run their offense, and it's, and the bias against it in the SEC and everything. So really, really fun book and interesting.
Learned a lot about modern football on that. It was good.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it reminds you just how Neanderthalish the SEC was in terms of offense before Mummy arrived in the mid-90s.
Not just the SEC, college football as a whole.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Basketball on grass. Football on grass. No, basketball on grass. Basketball on grass, yeah. But it was football. They just called it, yeah, okay. All right, is that it?
That's it for listener questions.
All right, I think that's going to do it. So, all right, so one more time, we've got the Jerry Hennin next week and Brian Stultz on August 15th, and then it'll be time to eat the barbecue and lay out how Auburn and the other SEC teams are going to do this year. Man, when we add Oklahoma and Texas, the barbecue show is just going to get longer and longer and longer. We're going to have to, do two parts again.
You have to get some extra barbecue.
Yeah, we're going to run out of barbecue. That's right. All right, any final thoughts?
Enjoy the last few weeks of summer, because college football is going to be here before you know it.
On the way. And as I always say, and then you blink twice, and it's already the midpoint of the season, and it's so depressing, but it's true. All right, our time is up. We thank you for yours. War Eagle John.
War Eagle, man.
Thanks for listening to the AU Wishbone. Find links to everything we do at www.auwishbone.com. For more Auburn fun, join us on Twitter at @AUWishbone and at facebook.com/AUWishbone. War Eagle.
The AU Wishbone is produced by Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer. Copyright 2020.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
All right, so I have a question for you while I'm doing this. So I don't know if you saw me tweeting about the Napoleon movie.
I did.
So I'm very excited about it because I like Ridley Scott. Pretty much everything he's done I like.
Yeah.
And I like, and obviously Napoleon's my favorite historical character. I've been begging for a good Napoleon movie for basically my entire life. And there, I've got every Napoleon movie and TV show that's ever been done on video, and they all suck. They're just not good, really. And, I mean, Abel Gance's is okay, but it goes on for like 6 hours, and it gets him to his first battle. And it just, they ran out of time. They ran out of money. So this new one with Joaquin Phoenix, it's supposed to have 6 whole battles in it, which is more than any other Napoleon movie has ever had before. The Rod Steiger one had 1, Waterloo, you know. So my question is, what are the 6 battles that they're going to include? Now, I think a couple of them are obvious, right? And then we'll see.
Waterloo, Jena, and Austerlitz are 3.
Got to have.
Borodino or whatever.
Got to have Borodino. That's right.
But also then I think one of them will be like the very first battle where he's like a captain in the artillery or lieutenant in the artillery.
Crossing the bridge in Italy is what I think.
So that'll be one.
Yeah, like the first.
And then something in between there and the, like his, something between that Italy battle and him, you know, being the greatest.
Yeah.
While he's on his way up. And I'm not sure what that is, but something in there.
I was thinking the battle in Italy, the battle at the bridge, because that's the one where he just ran into the bullets and said, I have a destiny, I will not get shot. And he took the bridge. Austerlitz got to be most famous. That's the ascendancy, right? That's the height.
Yeah.
And then Waterloo at the bottom. Those are the 3 that I just know. Jena, yeah, with the Prussians. Be interesting.
I'm looking forward to it.
I don't think that the one I've been hoping would get made forever was the
Kubrick one?
The Stanley Kubrick one, yeah. And I've got the script. I got it in that big book. And it's like a documentary. It's so boring. I mean, it just wouldn't have been a very interesting movie. It moves at about the same speed as 2001.
Forget it.
It's a lot of voiceovers. Then Napoleon visited his mother in Italy. You know what I mean? It's just like, slow. So we're better off if that never got made. It would have been beautiful, but boring.
I think you and I should go to the premiere wearing really tall bearskin hats. Like the old guards.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.